And stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live just after this update from Denver Bible Church. Hi, this is Pastor Bob Enyart, inviting you to come on out this Sunday to Denver Bible Church. We're right off of Hampton Road at Wadsworth and Hampton in the Denver area, and we have the most enjoyable Sunday school classes at 9:30 in the morning. Just a kick. It's lively. We've got debates. We're in the Gospel of Matthew. And so after this, we're going to play a quick clip from the sermon, and then after that, I'll tell you how you can get in touch with us, how you can get directions, and what times you might want to show up. So here we go. Join our sermon from this past Sunday in progress.
Until a child learns to fear the stove, he's at great risk of being burned. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. And so the Bible says that. In the oldest book in the Bible is not Genesis, but written some centuries before Genesis, is the book of Job. And Job said, recorded in Job 28, verse 28, he said that God said this, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." The fear of the Lord is wisdom. And we know that idea because Solomon later wrote it in the book of Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You know, God has visited his people, is what some of them said when they saw the mighty works that Jesus Christ did. God has visited us because the things that were being done had no natural explanation. And if there is no natural explanation to something, then that becomes proof of the supernatural. Again, if there is no natural explanation for something, then that, whatever it is, becomes proof of the supernatural. And the Bible starts out not with arguments for the existence of God, not with evidence for the existence of God, but the Bible starts out with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible goes on to say that it is a fool. The fool says there is no God.
Of Denver Bible Church, inviting you to visit us this Sunday for our very lively Sunday school class. We're in Matthew, and in fact, we're just starting Matthew 12. We finished up with Matthew chapter 11 this Sunday. It was a lot of fun. That's at 9:30 in the morning, or our worship service at 11 o'clock, or our Sunday night Bible study. We're in Colossians chapter 1. You'll enjoy that. In fact, this week, we know that we're going to have some particular guest who I'm not even sure if they're Christians, and we're at a perfect place in the Epistle of Colossians for unbelievers to come visit Sunday night at Denver Bible Church. We meet at 6200 West Hampton near Hampton and Wadsworth. So you can call us for directions at 303-463-1707, or get them on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. So you're invited this Sunday. Now, if you were there this past Sunday for Sunday school, let me tell you a question you could have answered. Here's a question. In which three cities did Jesus do most of his miracles? In which three cities? And what's interesting is Matthew told us that, which cities, and then he explained that even though Jesus did so many miracles in those cities, they did not repent. Why is that? Why don't people repent even when they see miracles? Well, come on out, Denver Bible Church. We'll talk about it.
Service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God.
audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Did you see that stupid movie called When Mars Attacks? Or Mars Attacks? We saw that movie. I think our kids even were on an airplane flying to Israel or something. And we saw Mars Attacks. And the best scene in the whole movie, I mean, people in the plane, you could tell who was watching the movie with their headphones on, who laughed, was when the Martians blew up Congress. Everyone cheered. It was hysterical. Everybody cheered when they blew up Congress. You know, 1 week ago today, Congress in Washington, D.C., they voted Sammy Sosa a role model. 1 week ago today, and 24 hours later, he cracked his bat, revealing that it was corked. It had been hollowed out. Their timing is just absolutely horrendous. When people say they're concerned about gridlock in Congress, gridlock at Bob Enyart Live, once in a while we put out bumper stickers. We try not to, but once in a while. And I remember we did one years ago. It said, pray for gridlock. Pray for gridlock. Pray that Congress does nothing. In your own state house, whatever state you live in, pray that your legislature does nothing. Pray for gridlock. Because every season, the laws in America get worse. Remember the Republican freshman in Congress in 94? And the conservative Christians thought things were going to get better. That was in 94. Are they better now, 2003, compared to 94? No, they're not better. Let's go to... Okay, our phone number, 1-800-836-9278 in Aurora, Colorado. Daniel, speak your mind.
Hi, how you doing, Bob?
Doing well.
Yeah, my name's Daniel, and I've followed your ministry for quite some time, and I started a little group called God Is Now Here or God Is Nowhere.
Wait, godisnowhere.org?
You got it.
Daniel, that's a great website.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
But wait, does it say God is nowhere? Or God is now here.
You're right on the money,
you
as
can't,
usual.
You can't tell which. So why do you have a name like that for your ministry?
Well, because most people, when they see it, they see God is nowhere. And we just got done doing the People's Fair this last weekend. And while there were, surprisingly this year, there were no Rocky Mountain skeptics, the freedom from religion wasn't there. The transsexual transvestites weren't there.
Well, you mean the traditional pagan, atheist, and
right,
immoral
yeah.
groups that would have their tents there. We've gone to that for years, the People's Fair. There were over 250,000 people went this year in Denver for the weekend. And so you guys had a Christian ministry there.
Right, and we're one of, as far as we could tell, when we walked through, there was only three what you might call Christian tents. There was Reasons to Believe, Menorah Ministries, ourselves, and then, I'm sorry, if there are four, and then the last one, Evangelical Free Church, that had like a heaven and hell sign.
Wow.
And they were across the street or across the way from us. And a lot of people would, you know, assume right away that, you know, I'm not really going to talk to these fundamentalist Christians over here about heaven and hell.
Yeah, right. That'd be a drag when you're like hungover Saturday morning. You're back for your second day of the People's Fair, and there's a sign, heaven and hell.
Exactly.
So they skip the heaven and hell booth.
Yeah, and they come over to join us because they think that we're anti-gods. Because
your sign says God is nowhere.
Right.
But it doesn't really.
No, not at all. And of course, you know, there's a lot of other things in our booth and such that draw people in. And one thing that we've said many, many times is that you have to dig in a little bit deeper to figure out where we're coming from, because inside of our tent is a table filled with all the books of history regarding religion, such as the Urantia, the Etkinkar, the Baha'i, Islam, you know, you name it, it's on this table. So people really don't know what we're doing there.
So that table is like bait.
Absolutely.
You guys have the hook, and the unbeliever, the pagan, is like the fish. And they come along and they take the bait. What I remember, you guys had big signs in your tent.
Yeah, we have a bunch of them. And, you know, I've been struggling for years to try to figure out exactly what the most simple name to call these things are.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it, Bob. It was the first year I'd ever finally figured out what they are.
Yeah.
And each one of them is what's called a first principle. And first principles are things or true statements that do not have to be proven.
Oh.
One simple one that you're probably well aware of is words have meaning.
Words have meaning.
Yeah, I don't have to prove that. because if I did, then we wouldn't be able to have a conversation.
that's pretty cool. So they're axiomatic, these statements.
Right, and there's several. And one, my favorite one is, and Matt, actually the each of the axioms together provides a question with a statement. And then from that, the resolution would be resolved to the point of what's called a first principle. Hmm. Well, one of the ones that I like the best is, truth is unknowable.
Truth.
How do you know?
Truth is unknowable. How do you know?
Exactly.
So you've got a typical liberal coming through the crowd, the unwashed masses, and he believes that there's no such thing as truth.
Right, exactly.
So he sees the sign that says truth is unknowable, and he's like, oh, yeah, cool, man. That's true.
Right.
And then it says, how do you know?
Exactly.
And his brain starts to buzz in his head.
Oh, it hurts. We get told all the time, oh, well, that's just mental trickery, or that's just a conundrum, or whatever. And the reason why we have the signs, and it does take some time to get people through the tent, if that makes sense. But the point of getting through the tent is so that you can build a foundation so that when you begin to discuss truth, and of course Jesus is that truth, that once they finally get confronted with Jesus Christ, they absolutely have no way to deny the fact that truth has been offered to them, and that, you know, that the only way they're going to escape this is by simply turning around and running.
Wow.
And they do that quite frequently.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, and Daniel, I've seen you guys, your booth at various fairs around Colorado. So what's up with your call today? Thanks for calling in, by the way.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Well, a couple of things, actually. The number one thing is yesterday was pretty interesting. Probably right about 2 or 3 hours before the fair was over, and, of course, nearing the end of each day, people are starting to get lit up a little bit, you know, because of the alcohol. And two young men came over to the tent and I started conversing with them and talking to them. And the conversation broke down to the point where one of the young men started cussing and started, you know, saying bad words about Jesus and the Bible and things like that. So, and unfortunately, it does semi-frequently happen, but I demand that these people leave. Because I'm just not going to put up with someone's vulgar language, especially when it is associated with, the Lord.
Right. Okay. Now, Daniel, you got us on the edge of our seats. We want to hear what happened, but hold on, all right? We'll be right back. Listener-supported radio right here, Bob Benyart Live. Hey, this is a live commercial break, and I want to let you know that our call-in line, you could also use it to, well, if you like the show and you're interested in making a monthly pledge. Boy, you guys who do that, you're the ones who help us to stay on the air, to continue to reach more people. So you can call us at 1-800-ANYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, or let's say, you know, some people give $25, $50 a month, whatever they're inclined to give, and thank you so much. But someone else might be interested in getting a Bible study album each month. And you could do that too for $34.95 a month. Instead of just making a pledge, you could get something in the mail each month, and you'll start out with our plot, Bible Overview. We call it the plot. It's the plot of the Bible, the story of the Bible. 6 audio tapes, an overview of the whole Bible. It is a lot of fun. In fact, it's probably our best-selling audio tape album, The Plot and then The Tree. Those two. We have 35 albums or more, and people just give us the most wonderful comments, and there's a money-back guarantee if not satisfied. Now, we're always satisfied with people's money, though. Oh, no, I'm not supposed to say that. This is a live commercial break. No, if you're not satisfied with any of our materials, 30 days, money-back guarantee, and we're thrilled that we virtually have never had to refund people's money, we think you'll love it. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. Give us a call. Tell us what you'd like to study in the Bible. And then there's also folks who, they're not as inclined to listen to audio tapes. You know, a lot of people do that as they're driving to and from work. But there's folks who would rather read. And we have, in fact, just today, a gentleman from New Orleans was visiting here in Denver, Colorado, came by our studio, purchased two plots for friends he has, and you might be more inclined to read. So we have the plot manuscript. It's an unpublished manuscript. It has sold thousands of copies. More copies of this unpublished manuscript have been sold than get sold of the average published book. And you might want to check that out, read it. And if, again, if you don't love it, money-back guarantee. But when you get the overview of the Bible, you get it. One 800 8 NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So Congress voted Sammy Sosa a role model 24 hours before his back cracked. That is so weird. That's just flat out weird. People who live in Chicago, they must be. Oh, we have some people from Chicago in our studio audience tonight. All right, let's get back to the phones. And in Aurora, Colorado, Daniel. So, Daniel, you're telling us about your ministry at the People's Fair. There were 275,000 people in Colorado this past weekend that went to the People's Fair. And so you had one guy who started cussing and cussing about Jesus. So what happened?
Well, there are actually two of them. And, we have so many stories. It's amazing. But this one kind of sticks out because this guy was cussing, and so I asked him to leave. And as he walked away, I told him, I said, enjoy your life as a fool. Strong words, but you've taught me well to judge rightly.
Ooh.
And as he heard me say that, he turned around to perhaps get violent. And he, was maybe even going to punch me. I don't know. Although that was his intent, I've never had anything like that happen before.
Right.
Well, his friend was with him, and as they discussed back and forth, the other guy was left. The guy that threatened me walked away, and then the guy that was left there, he says, "So you're telling me that you believe in some supernatural deity?" I said, "No. Hold on a second. What I'm telling you is that you're a sinner." And when I said that to him,
that was so good, Daniel.
Yeah,
that was so good.
Well,
at that point,
when I said that to him, he goes, "I'm a sinner," and he says, "Well, now I'm leaving." So they both left, and you would think nothing of it. Of course, I mean that happens.
Hey, Daniel, if there was another booth that they walked into, and the booth of Christians said, "We want you to know that God is love,"
right?
They would have high-fived him and said, "Cool, man, amen, praise the Lord, God is love," and walked right on, because we've God is loved people to hell. We're
Amen.
Loving them to hell.
Yeah, I don't even know in the 8 years I've done the ministry like this, I don't think I've ever even said the phrase God is love before.
Well, you don't need
I don't
to
know if that's
because
a bad
every
thing or not, but
every
I certainly haven't spoken that to the unrepentant.
Well, you don't need to because every pagan in the world that hates Jesus Christ believes God is love.
Right.
They've been told that. And what they haven't been told is that the law condemns them. God gave us the law to be our tutor, to minister condemnation and guilt to us so that we know we're sinners, so that we'll ask God to forgive us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And something else, I do have a question for you, Bob, but before I go there,
yeah.
I was curious, you know what the trilemma is, of course?
A trilemma? You mean not a dilemma, but a trilemma.
Right. Right. I don't know who started it, but I believe C.S. Lewis spoke of it.
You mean about God, either Jesus is a liar, a lunatic, or Lord?
Right. And in 8 years of ministry, I have never once heard anybody ever say that Jesus Christ was a lunatic.
Isn't that something? And Daniel, that's amazing because you go out with, the real riffraff at these fairs.
That's right. They're willing to say he's a good teacher and all of that.
He's a prophet.
Yeah. And of course, just like C.S. Lewis said, he doesn't give that to us. He doesn't give us the ability to say he's a good teacher and not accept him as God.
Because he said you have to love me more than your own parents.
That's right.
So what kind of a teacher is that?
Yeah. This is, last night at, I don't know, I guess it was about 6 p.m., and the everything closes down at 7. So we're breaking everything down. I'm sorry, it was 7 o'clock. We were breaking everything down, putting the tent away, and we're just sitting on the jugs of water that keep our tent up waiting for the traffic to disperse. And sure enough, those same two guys walk back up to us.
Wow.
And one of my friends, Chris, was at least 300 or 400 yards away watching this happen, and he was really afraid, and he started running. He told me this. I never saw him because he thought, uh-oh, something's going to happen. Well, to make a longer story shorter, it was actually 7 of us because I have 6 on the team, and then a woman who came out of nowhere, a evangelical Christian, came up, and we just started evangelizing to both of these young men. And it was really, really neat, and we'll see what happens, in the future, but one of the two, the guy that said, oh, you're telling me I'm a sinner, now I'm leaving? Well, Adam, who I don't know if you know Adam Briggs.
I sure do know Adam.
He said specifically to this young man and agreed with him that they would each learn for each other why he's a sinner. And he agreed that he wanted to learn why he was a sinner.
Wow.
Then the guy that was going to hit me, I spoke with him. And now you're going to think I'm crazy. I do a lot of stupid things. The same guy that was going to clock me, I gave him my phone number.
Okay.
And he agreed to study more about the resurrection of Jesus Christ because basically what I told him was if you can show that the resurrection didn't happen, then you can ignore all this other stuff. Forget baptism, forget tithing, forget it all. Mm. It's just totally worthless. But let me come down to the bottom line. I mean, first of all, if you want to remember these two young men in prayer, that's awesome. But the reason why I'm calling is because within our group, one of the young men, we have several people in our team, said that
this
it was
is
wrong.
Daniel, this is the God is now here ministry team.
Yeah, that's right. There's 8 of us. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you can imagine, I don't know, if you haven't been there before, if you haven't seen it, but our tent drives so many people that, I'll have 20 people in the tent, and there's yelling, and there's crying, and there's laughter, and it's really wonderful. It's an often awesome experience. But one of the team members, one of the newer team members, actually has been with us for 2 years, so I guess I can't say that's too new, said that I was wrong, perhaps, to judge this young man when he cussed and throw him out of the tent.
Well, now, your team member, he's been with you for 2 years.
That's right.
I'm surprised he would say that.
I was surprised.
I would think he would have learned.
But the reason why he said it is because he had a verse stuck in his head, and it's Corinthians 5:12-13. And it's about judgment.
And that judgment is for the house of God, not for those who are outside.
Exactly. And just so you know what happened, I told him right then and there, I said, listen, man, I got maybe a little, high on my horse, if you want to say that. I said, this is my tent, and I rule. And if I hear somebody, speaking against the Lord, they're out so fast, they're not even going to know what happened. And that's what I did. I did kick him out of the tent.
And the fruit of it was obvious.
Yeah, well,
the
look
fruit
what happened.
Is
they came back a couple hours later.
Right. That's a neat fruit. And we've seen the same exact thing on this show where we bring the full force of the law against an unbeliever and let them know that they're a sinner, they're guilty, they're condemned, so that we can move them to the place where they will ask God to forgive them.
Amen.
It's called pre-evangelism.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Right? Let's just explain that to people listening. You know, evangelism is the good news. But before you're going to accept the good news that God will save you, you have to believe that you need saving. You have to believe that you're a sinner, and that's why God gave the law to minister guilt and condemnation to unbelievers so that they'll know they're guilty, so they want to be saved.
Absolutely. And Bob, what I say to other people is this, and it's very almost right on line with what you're saying, is that why is it that evangelists and evangelism keep saying the name of Jesus over and over and over? They keep telling you about Jesus. And, of course, we know him to be the great physician, but the problem is if they don't even know they're sick, then they could care less about the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point, and I think you know very well, we want them to know very clearly that they're sick.
In the whole people's fair, my guess is no one that weekend enforced a standard of righteousness on these two. Anything they did or said would be tolerated, accepted, even by other Christian groups who just wanted to show love.
Absolutely. That's totally true.
But when you give a standard, a border, even to kids, young kids, you're raising them in your family, and if there's no boundary, they're going to grow to disrespect you. But when there is an absolute boundary, and if they cross it, they are going to be, you know, punished in some way, suffer a consequence, then they'll begin to respect you for that.
Amen.
So anyway, that's what happened. That's pretty cool. So what's with this guy, your team member? He had this verse from Corinthians.
Right. And then, and of course, I think you know Adam pretty well. He came back with another verse, because here's the key to the verse.
It Daniel, warning. Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, Daniel, go ahead and read the Paul's passage.
I love your warning there, Bob. Okay,
right.
So let me just read it. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person.
Okay, now that verse tells you that you're not supposed to judge someone who's not a Christian. You only judge the Christian. That's what your team member is saying, right?
Right, I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah, and that's what the verse says. If you read that verse, and if you only have that verse in the whole Bible, in fact, if the whole Bible consisted of only that verse, you'd probably be forced to come to his conclusion.
Right.
But that verse appears in the context not only of the book of Corinthians, but of the whole Bible. And throughout the Bible, the wicked are judged, and they're judged by God's people.
Amen.
But the context here is Paul is talking about whether or not you should fellowship with sexually immoral people.
Amen.
And if there are people who are shacking up together and they go to your church and they're members of your church, Paul says, don't let that happen. Excommunicate them, disfellowship them, don't hang out with them. But then again, if there are unbelievers who are living together, you don't have to disfellowship them because they're not believers, and you expect that people like that will fornicate.
Right.
And so that's the context.
Right.
And in that context, Paul is saying, look, we have a greater responsibility toward those in the body than we do toward those out of the body. And the contradiction is so significant that it's almost as though you don't even need to care about people outside of the body. That's how much we need to care and judge those within the body. Here, live commercial break, and I'll give you out our phone number. And remember, you could use this number to dial in, or during the week, You could try it at 3 in the morning if you like. Once in a great while, there's someone here at that time. But anytime, 24 hours a day, give us a call. And if we don't answer, leave your name and number, and we'll get back to you. And then we could talk about the Bible study materials. We'll talk about the Bible study materials that that we have available for you if you're interested. And, for example, you might be brand new to the Bible, or you might have studied the Bible for 20 years. We've got guys who have, in fact, one letter I read today from a retired military guy from Texas, lives on a ranch, and he's read the plot, loves the plot, and he said he was a Christian 30 years. He didn't know the Bible. Imagine that. Imagine that, 30 years and feeling like you didn't know the Bible. And then he read the plot, loves it. Now he gives it away to people. And he's getting people saved, and he's so excited. And he's figuring out how do you tell a good church from a bad church. But if you're brand new to the Bible, or if you've been a Christian for 30 years, either way, we'd like to talk with you about where you're at in studying the Bible and whether or not we have materials that might help you out. For example, if you're a brand new Christian, well, what if you're not a Christian? Then you're in big trouble. And then, actually, we don't want to make money on you. We'll send you our Mount Moriah video for free, free of charge. Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection. Because like this guy Daniel said, who's calling in right now, he said, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then all of Christianity is bogus. The Apostle Paul said that too. Daniel didn't make it up. So if you're not a believer, Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection, and we'll send you that for free. If you are a believer, then you got to pay. If you are a believer, we'd like to find out, talk to you, where are you at in your Christian life? How well do you know the Bible? If you're a brand new believer, you might want to start out with the Gospel of John. And our first volume in the Gospel of John, Is This Man God? Speaking of Jesus Christ. Or Genesis Creation. That's fun. You know, if you get into Genesis Creation and you enjoy it, you might want to follow right up with Genesis the Fall. Let me ask you a question. When did Adam and Eve sin? When? How long after creation? That's in the album. It's fun. One 800 8 NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So Daniel, I don't want to blow off your team members, you know, questions so quickly, but when you read a verse, you have to take it in context. And if throughout the Bible, if you never saw godly people judging the wicked, then you might say, you know, he might have a point. But Jesus and the apostles and the prophets judge the wicked, condemn the wicked. God does. He gave the law to condemn the wicked. And if you're not going to judge that somebody is a sinner, you can't pray the sinner's prayer with them.
Well, what I would also say is this, Bob, and you know, we had a long talk after this, so but I believe that judgment could also possibly be a first principle, and maybe in the axiomatic expressions we could have something like, you know, I don't believe in judging, do you? You know, something like that. But the point is, I think you're absolutely right. We have to judge literally everything, and the key is to judge rightly. And you know, as I am very thankful for you and your ministry, because I think that's something that you've taught me very, very well.
Hey Daniel,
we are a team.
Yeah,
we're fortunate to have a lot of resources. And Adam came back immediately with Ephesians 5:11, and it says, "You don't want to do the Will Robinson thing, do you?"
No, the warning, the FCC regulations. One warning for these pagans. It lasts for the whole show.
One's enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or judge them."
Or expose them. Yeah, and for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done in secret. but all things that are exposed are made manifest. And yeah, it's somewhat bizarre. For example, then John the Baptist was sinning when he rebuked Herod for committing adultery with Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. So John the Baptist was sinning when he did that because Herod wasn't a believer and you could only judge believers?
Right.
I mean, that's ludicrous.
Right.
So, but if you read that verse and if you only read that verse and you ignore the whole thrust of Scripture, which is we are to be salt and light. And if somebody is selling drugs to kids on a playground, well, then we as Christians cannot judge them. We cannot say that it's wrong. We can't rebuke them. We can't condemn them. We just have to what? Tolerate it? Look the other way?
Amen.
Turn the other kid? Just turn the other kid. He sells drugs to one kid? Give him the next kid to sell drugs to. It's just... it's unworkable. And you know what, Daniel?
What's that?
I guarantee you he doesn't live by that interpretation.
Oh, he doesn't. I think it was just a knee-jerk reaction because I don't think he had seen me be so strong with an unrepentant person like that in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just kind of caught him off guard because he's not as strong as I am, or maybe like you are. I mean, you're familiar with, everybody wants to be able to do the will of the Lord and evangelize, but sometimes when you have to be strong and tough, it gets people uncomfortable, and I appreciate that. I understand that.
Well, hey, Daniel, there are Christian churches that from time to time, pastors and churches will put down this show, Bob Benyart Live,
right,
and say, we are supposed to forgive, and we're not supposed to judge that we as a ministry. And so what we do, let's say there's a church in town that said that about us. We say, if you're inclined to, if you need a little money this weekend, if you go to this one certain church, you can probably take money out of the collection plate instead of putting it in because they won't judge. And even if they find out you did it, they'll forgive you. But you know what happens if somebody takes out a $10 bill at this church that forgives and doesn't judge? If you take a $10 bill out of the collection plate when it goes around, they will be on you like white on rice. And guess what? If you'll have to put it back. They're not going to forgive you. You got to put it back, and they're going to judge you as a thief. And guess what? If you try to do it again, they won't let you back in the church for 10 measly bucks. But if you're a fornicator, if you're a member of their church and you're fornicating so that you're using a woman, they love you and they're not going to judge you and
wow.
They forgive you.
Wow.
So if the cost is the dignity, the respect, and the life of a woman in the church, they'll pay that price to love and forgive you. But if it's 10 bucks out of their pocket, forget it. And you know what that 10 bucks does? It shows you what the church really believes.
You know, Bob, there's so many stories that happened during the weekend. I just wanted to tell you, and every time I tell you something like, I can't believe I ever heard anybody say this before, and you probably heard it three times, but two times in the same weekend, actually not even the weekend, the same day,
yeah,
two women that were raped in their past by their own words. I almost felt like calling them a liar about it, and you'll know why in a moment.
I almost want to guess why, but go ahead.
They said that
you want
there
me to guess?
Circumstances somewhere, sometime,
oh, yeah, that
rape is
rape
acceptable.
Is okay. Right, that rape is okay because they don't want to admit there's right and wrong.
And they were raped.
Right. And so that's what they like to do. Liberals who don't believe in right and wrong, you'll say, well, is it wrong for a man to rape a woman? And then they'll conceive of some bizarre scenario where someone is going to drop a bomb on San Francisco unless some guy rapes a woman.
Right.
And so they think of that scenario. And we say right off the bat, look, we're better off without San Francisco anyway. But actually, no, even in that situation, it would be wrong to rape that woman. even in that situation. But what we have to do to show these people how evil they are is say, if a man was going to violently rape a woman for his own entertainment and no other pleasure and no other reason, would that be absolutely wrong? And you know what they say? You know what they say. They say no. It wouldn't be wrong. So in the liberal worldview, in the atheistic worldview, it's not wrong to murder 6 million Jews or for the Japanese army to kidnap Korean women to force them to be prostitutes. You know, it's not wrong to drag a black man behind your pickup truck for entertainment and to tear his body into pieces because you're a white supremacist. And it's not wrong to do those things. If it's not wrong, then, you know, then this liberal's worldview is obviously, it can't be objectively better than the racist's worldview or the Nazi worldview. Daniel, liberalism and atheism, they lead to ignorance, but you've seen it for yourself.
Hey, Bob, I want to thank you so much for your ministry, and I definitely wish the best for you. And thank you so much for having me on the air.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. God bless you, Daniel. That was fun. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So Congress voted for Sammy Sosa. They voted that he was a role model 24 hours before his back cracked. That's just a crack up. That's too much. And, you know, Sammy Sosa is really loved in Chicago and around the country. He's really loved and respected. And this is just a terrible, tragic thing. But, you know, if you do use a cork bat during batting practice to get the fans excited, well, right there, that's a bit bizarre. But if you do that, because the fans think it's, you know, it's regular, it's real. But anyway, it's not against any rules. But if you do that, it would be your obligation to have that bat marked in such a significant way that there is no possible way you could ever accidentally use that bat during a game. Because if you don't have it so marked, then if you're in a game or you're in a slump or you really need a hit for some reason or you got a bet with your girlfriend or the catcher, then you just pick up that bat. And nobody will know the difference. And so anyway, it's just a huge, colossal, career-level mistake that Sammy Sosa made. Just huge. But, you know, nowadays, if you're a lying fornicator, you get elected president. So what does it really matter nowadays? Except, of course, it does. All right, now on to a terrible story that I almost can't even read. It just gets me so sick to my stomach. But you know the kidnapper who kidnapped the 9-year-old girl and she's back safe, although she may have been sexually assaulted and he's arrested. He should be executed, right? By what? By tomorrow evening he should be dead? You think he will be? So let me tell you about some of our videos. And if you'd like to subscribe to the monthly video for $24.95 a month, you can get, for example, Video Fruitcake. Hilarious liberal callers. It's a great gift idea. In fact, come Christmas time, it's in your library. Instead of sending somebody a fruitcake, you send them a Video Fruitcake. And then we got Bob on Drugs. That's when a heroin addict called in. Neat video. And Amy's Call. That's when, well, that got pretty harsh. This woman sleeps around, had a baby out of wedlock. She called in, said she was good enough to get to heaven. And she didn't like what I called her. And she proved with the next words out of her mouth that what I called her was accurate. And so I hung up on her because she was really vulgar. And then the Christians called in and said, Amy will never become a Christian now because of how mean you were to her. You judged her. You called her name. And I said, I think she's closer now to getting saved than ever. Because finally, somebody told her the truth. That she's a tramp. She thinks she's good enough to get to heaven. She's a tramp. And anyway, the Christians condemned us. And a year later, we took a call. You know, at the time, we were on in 80 cities from Honolulu to Orlando, Florida. A year later, we take a phone call. And the caller says, Bob, this is Amy. And a chill went up my spine. I knew instantly it was her. And so did half the audience. And guess what? She had gotten saved. Isn't that cool? And that's what, I mean, if you know how to use the law, if you know how to use the law, the Bible says that God gave the law, 1 Timothy chapter 1, the law is good if you use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is made for the murderer, the kidnapper, the sodomite, the adulterer, the perjurer. That's what the New Testament tells us the law is for. And we minister the law to the unbeliever so that they will feel guilty and ask God to forgive them. So anyway, that's the video Amy's call. It'll blow your mind. And then Terry's call. I can't even tell you about Terry's call. You won't be able to sleep tonight. Bob Enyart, 1-800-836-9278. So the kidnapper kidnapped 9-year-old girl. She was apparently sexually assaulted, but even if she wasn't, he's now arrested. So by tomorrow night, he should be executed. You think he'll be killed by tomorrow night, executed by the government? You think they'll do it that efficiently? No, I guess not, huh? It'll probably take, what a shame, it'll probably take 3 or 4 days. Oh, it's not going to happen at all? Oh, yeah, stupid me. All he did was kidnap a 9-year-old girl, beat up her brother and a mother, and rape her. So, of course, he won't be executed. In fact, we've got a really perfect punishment for him. This is what we're going to do to him. We're going to make him play softball and basketball and foosball. You know, they play foosball. And watch cable TV and videos. And he maybe could have his own TV in his cell. If he's good. And for those times when his favorite shows are on at an inconvenient time, a VCR also in his cell. So he could catch those shows he would otherwise miss because of the basketball playoffs. So that's what we'll do to this guy, and he should be executed. But now on to a terrible, terrible, terrible story that I can't even deal with. Out of Las Vegas, when I hear stories like this, I just get sick to my stomach. A 7-month-old boy died on Friday after his dad forgot him in a van for 8 hours. Now, this happens. This is tragic how many times this happens. And the dad was a school teacher, and he could face a charge of felony child endangerment. But he was a school teacher, and it was the last day of school. And so the dad changed his normal routine, and he went to a coffee shop to get a cup of coffee on the way to school. He normally didn't do that. But this is the last day. Walking to school with a hot cup of coffee, and he forgot that the 7-month-old boy, baby, was in the van. So instead of going, you know, he forgot. And then he went to pick up the boy's 2-year-old brother at daycare, and the father realized, where's the baby? And in the back seat, there's the baby. And the police said that it was almost 100 degrees last week in Las Vegas, 98 degrees that day, and the police said the temperature inside the van probably reached about 160 degrees. What an absolute tragedy. And since 2001, four kids have died in Las Vegas in that manner. And from 1996 to 2000, 120 children have died from heat injuries like that. It's just devastating. Let's go. And, you know, General Motors has done a study on this, and I hope that technology will come up with a way to sound an alarm when a baby's in a car. They have that already? Some new models? Oh. So it's not in standard model cars yet. All right, let's go to the phones. Now, how should the parent be punished for that? Obviously, the parent's devastated. But, you know, the Bible addresses that situation, although they didn't have cars when Moses was writing. But, you know, they had other things. But let's go to the phones. In Greenville, Pennsylvania, Jeff, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. How are you tonight?
Doing well, Jeff.
Hey, I haven't heard you talk much on your show about the Scott Peterson case. Just wondering what your take was on it or if you even had a take on it.
Sure, I do. That he's guilty. He murdered his wife and his baby. And, you know, I sure hope and pray he'll be found guilty. You know, cases, high-profile cases tend to influence a lot of people. Like the O.J. case, when there was all that evidence that he's the murderer.
Right.
And people like Scott Peterson could see that and say, you know, all I have to do is be smarter than OJ, and I could get away with this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just tragic. What have you observed in this case?
Well, it's pretty evident that all fingers are pointing to him.
Yeah.
I just been watching recently this Amber Frey, the lady he's been having an affair with.
Yeah, and they pronounce it, I guess, Amber Fry.
Fry, okay. But nevertheless, you know, she's coming into the limelight now because they want to print some photos of her. And,
yeah. Larry Flint May.
Yeah, I think you've met him once or twice, haven't you?
That's right. I'm politically incorrect. And I asked him, why doesn't he tell the audience about that time when he had sex with a chicken?
Hmm.
And he sort of slithered down into his wheelchair, even lower than he normally is. But anyway, yeah, so, you know, and she's not guilty of the murder, obviously. She didn't even know he was married. But you know what's interesting? Sexual immorality is a leading factor in murder.
Yeah.
So the government, the FBI, they keep track of alcohol and drug-related crimes, but they don't keep track of sexual immorality-related crimes when that's a factor. If they did, they'd find it to be a leading factor. And God said, only have sex within marriage. And when you disobey God, you hurt people. And hurt people tend to hurt other people. And so some woman is having sex outside of marriage with a guy she hardly knows. And he kills his wife. And she's involved.
Right.
And she's not purely innocent. Because she was doing something that was wrong, helping to hurt another person. And when you help to break one person, that guy might break somebody else.
Exactly.
And she just got more than she bargained for in this case. But she bears some guilt, as society in general does.
Right.
So go ahead.
I was just going to say, it just goes back to, I think I've even heard you talk about the laws of adultery have basically gone out the window.
Right.
And had you had those laws according to God's standards, chances of these situations even happening probably would have never happened.
That's God promises us that if we have laws against adultery and murder and kidnapping, perjury, the way God says it, there would be virtually no crime, and we would save 10,000 people a year from becoming murderers, never mind their victims.
Right.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Appreciate your call. And in Colorado Springs, is this Dennis?
Yes.
Dennis, speak your mind.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that nothing is hidden from God. The Lord sees everything in the intent of our hearts.
Yes.
And these people are not getting away.
You're absolutely right. They will not get away with their crimes.
Our life is a vapor, and you know, this life is just an instant in time.
Yeah, and before you know, O.J. or Hillary or whoever, before they know it, they'll be standing before God, and all the lies that they told will no longer be available to them.
That's correct. And so I guess there's the good side and the bad side in terms of it's very good that as believers we have God's grace to forgive us for all of the things that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the good that we know that those that have wronged us won't get away with it. But I also know that personally that I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go through what those that will be punished will go through. Because
yeah,
it's like
yeah.
being stung by, you know, a hive of bees and not being able to get away from them forever. And that's mild. I mean, yeah. Hell's not something I want to think about.
No, hell will be really bad. Ecclesiastes says that God put eternity into our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we can identify with that. As human beings generally, even unbelievers identify with living forever. Because it's in us. We're going to live forever. And either we live with God because we love him and we want to, or we'll live in hell because we don't want to live with God, and God doesn't force people to love him.
That's true. Absolutely true. And, you know, people want to believe whether God exists or not. It's either you're for God or you're against God.
That's what Jesus said, yeah.
And even if they don't believe, it's, hey, that's just the way it is. And for me, it's very frustrating in that both my wife's family and my family, they're not believers. And
whoa, go ahead. Well, Dennis, we have interference on your line. So, see that? I think it's somebody in your family trying to keep your call from going through. Nah, we can't get Dennis. All right. So, you know, the Bible talks about, huh? All right. Put him on hold and pop him back. Dennis?
Yeah.
Okay, you're there. So your wife's family, they're unbelievers.
And my family as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I lost you there for a minute.
Yeah.
It's just very frustrating. And it took a long time to come to the realization that for both of us that we're not responsible for their spiritual welfare. They are.
Well, that's right.
But we agonize over their welfare because we know the reality of it, and we know that no matter what we say or do, unless the Holy Spirit moves in them, nothing's going to change their heart.
So now let me check you on what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Holy Spirit's fault that they haven't humbled themselves and trusted.
No.
Okay,
no.
I'm glad you said. I just wanted to clarify that.
No, they have a choice, and unless it, you know, our efforts are in vain unless it's in. We do it through the Spirit of God.
Well, that's true.
I guess that's what it is. That's what I want to try and articulate. Is that?
Yeah, that's right.
We can talk until we're blue in the face, but unless we're speaking in the Spirit of God.
But you know what, Dennis? You know what's interesting? Even if you do it in the Spirit of God, they may not repent.
All right.
But you know what else is interesting? Even if you do it in the flesh, they might believe. Because Paul said some people preach the gospel out of envy, strife, and greed, and yet there's fruit. People get saved. Just look at a TV evangelist who's doing it for the money, and yet people get saved.
That's true.
It's true.
That's absolutely true. God uses many, many things to achieve his goal.
Dennis, thank you for your call. God bless you.
Blessings to you.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
Your call. We'll pray for your family. And, you know, this ain't no dress rehearsal. This is life. This is Bob Benyert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.